We're in this series called Fight For. If you haven't been with us over the past couple of weeks, we're taking some time to look at marriage, family, relationships, the home, really the relationships that matter the most, which is our home. And how do we fight for? We often fight in and fight with, but how can we fight for those relationships more than anything that we can? And so today, I'm going to answer this question, and here's the question we're asking to start today. And that is, what is one thing that you can't afford to get wrong if you want your relationship to be strong? What is one thing you can't afford to get wrong if you want your relationship to be strong? Now, I just want to let y'all know here, I'm kind of one of those preachers where I like you to respond with me. We're not at the movie theater anymore, y'all. So you don't have to watch. You actually get to participate and be a part of it. So come on, if you love Jesus, can I get an amen? Come on. All right. So, hey, listen, at any moment that you feel like this word's for you, you can say, you know, let's go. Amen. That's for me. Hey, if it's for somebody else, go, that's for you. Like, that's however that works. You can make it like that. So, we're going to read some scriptures here. We're going to share some things today. But today, this is the answer to this question. What's the one thing that if you can't afford to get wrong, if you want your relationship to be strong? And here's the answer. Communication. Communication. That if you want a relationship to be strong, it's got to have great communication. Let me put it a different way. You can't get relationships right if you get communication wrong. You cannot get relationships right if you get communication wrong. I mean, we got to be able to communicate. I mean, no, guys in here, listen, if you want to go on a date, you got to communicate. All right? You got to communicate. You want a date, you got to communicate. Oh, she's just going to come to me. No, she won't. All right, you got to go do some work. You got to put it out. If you want to get married, you got to communicate. And really, more than anything, come on, how many of you have been married longer than 10 years? Raise your hand if you've been longer than married than 10 years. How many know if you want to stay married, you got to communicate? It's one thing to get married. It's a whole nother thing to stay married. It's a whole nother thing. You got to be able to communicate. If you want to have kids, if you want a parent, you got to communicate. I mean, you just think about it. If you want to have a job, you got to be able to communicate. 80% of our day is communication. 80% of your day is communication. You wake up, you start communicating. Now, unless you live by yourself and you're by yourself, but the truth is you probably talk to yourself. And so we're always communicating. We're always communicating whether we know it or not. The question is, how healthy is our communication? What is our communication? What statistics say that all of us probably say at least 15,000 words a day. Now, for some of you, it may be a lot less. For some of you, that may be just the morning, all right? But we all are communicating. The question is, with the words that we're communicating, what are we actually communicating? The way that I'll put it a different way. Like what blood is to the body, communication is to relationships. What blood is to the body, communication is to relationships. At our Jennings campus, we've got one of our leaders that's in a really rough spot right now. For the last probably month or so, he has been losing blood. Not externally, he hadn't been bleeding everywhere, but he's been losing blood inside of his body. He's been having to go to the hospital. He's actually right now in the hospital in Lake Charles right now. He texted me 2 days ago and said, Pastor Josh, please keep praying for me. Like, my blood has been dramatically decreasing, and they can't figure out why. They've been running tests and all this stuff. But here's what's happening. Watch this. As his blood has been decreasing, his body's literally shutting down. Like, literally. Organs are starting to shut down. Things are starting to, he's having to get transplants he's getting iron. He's getting all this thing to try to build up and boost the blood in his system, because blood provides incredible nutrients to your body. And when blood stops flowing, the body starts dying. Now watch this. And the same is true for communication. When communication stops flowing, I mean, no, the relationship starts dying. When we stop talking to one another, when we stop having healthy communication, we go from fighting for to fighting with, and then we get to the place where we withdraw and we go, I'm not even talking anymore. And the moment we stop talking is the moment that our relationships can start taking a pretty significant downhill. So in this series, we're trying to fight for your relationships. We're trying to come alongside you and give you some tools and give you God's word, give you principles and say, man, can the Spirit of God breathe on us and help us to fight for our relationships? And so today we're going to tackle this idea of communication, and we're going to look at this. Listen to this statistic that I read. Over 75% of divorced couples said that one of the top reasons their marriages failed was poor communication. 75% of divorced couples, when they went back and did an autopsy on that relationship, they said that one of the top reasons that it failed was because they could not learn to communicate with one another. Reminds me of a story of a couple. They're doing kind of, how many of y'all have ever been in this? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to look. Just look at me. Don't look at anybody next to you. Look, just look at me. How many of you have ever been in a fight? If you're married in here, who's married? Let me find out who is married in here. Okay, if you're married. Okay, this is a good bit of y'all. Okay, so just look at me. Don't look at your spouse if they're there with you. How many of you have ever had a fight with your spouse and you start with you kind of have the silent treatment? Like, it's just like, we're not talking anymore. Like, we're just not, it's probably for the best that we're just not talking. There's a story of a couple who started doing that, and the husband, he had a flight at 7 a.m. the next morning, and so he ain't talking to his wife. We ain't talking. So he decides, I'm going to get a sticky note, and he writes on the sticky note, wake me up at 5 a.m., and he puts it right next to her toothbrush. All right, we ain't having a conversation. He just puts it right next to her toothbrush, all right? The next day, he woke up at 9 a.m. He looks on the nightstand, and there was a note that said, wake up, it's 5 a.m. That's funny, y'all. That's funny. It's time to get up. Like, we ain't talking, though. How many know it is essential and vital that we communicate? We got to be able to communicate. If we want to have thriving, God-honoring marriages, we've got to be able to communicate, and beyond marriages, if we want to do that in parenting and family and even work relationships, spiritual family requires us to be able to communicate. Now, Lindsay and I, my wife, have been married for 21, we just celebrated 21 years a week ago, and thank you, thank you, thank you. Y'all are applauding her, not me. I had a great wife. I have an incredible wife. But I'm going to just go ahead and put this is all vulnerability out there. I'm going to tell you right now, this has been our greatest issue. This has been our greatest issue is communication. Learning to communicate with one another. I don't know if anybody in here married your opposite. I married mine. She is so opposite of me. And so we are in this, we just see things so uniquely different, which, by the way, if we can learn to not criticize the differences and instead celebrate the differences, it would make us a real team. Because I need what she has and she needs what I have. And so what ends up happening is often in communication, we are criticizing how different the other person is versus celebrating how different the other person is. But today I want us to dive into this idea of communication, and we're going to just spend the next 15 minutes or so looking at communication started in the garden. Now, as many of you know, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were there in the garden, in relationship, perfect communion with the Lord, I mean, incredible, I mean, it's God's desire for relationship with us. And they broke it. They broke that relationship. They disobeyed. And when there was a break in the relationship, I want you to notice something. When the relationship had a bit of out of alignment, I want you to notice what God did. Look with me in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to go to scripture here. Genesis 3, 8 through 9 says, and when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking in the garden, so they hid themselves. Shame, guilt, they hide from the Lord among the trees. Now watch this. And then the Lord God called to the man, and he said, what's that question, y'all? Where are you? Where are you? When something was out of alignment in the relationships, I want you to notice what God did. He said, we need to have a conversation. We need to have a conversation. That the moment something just wasn't right, it wasn't Adam that went to God and said, hey, we blew it, we messed up. No, no, no. God said, no, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to ask you a question. Adam, where are you at? Now, here's the question. How many know when God asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer? Y'all know that, right? Anytime you see Jesus in the Gospels, Jesus asking a question, he wasn't asking the question because he didn't know the answer. Watch this. He's asking the question because he wants to know, do you know the answer? Now, me and my boys, we love to play hide and go seek when they're younger. Now, they're all older. They're 19, 16, and 14. They don't like playing hide and seek with dad anymore. But when they were younger, we played hide and seek all the time. And for those that don't know, my youngest son has a rare lung disease. So every night, my youngest son, he's 14 now, he has to sleep with oxygen. And so we've got this massively big oxygen concentrator in our house, and we've got like 100 foot of oxygen cord all throughout our house. We've got a pretty big house, and so we'd play at night. And so Joel would go, he'd put his oxygen on, and he's like, Dad, let's play hide and seek. And I'm like, let's go. And so I go, all right, ready, y'all go hide. And he takes off, and his oxygen goes off with him. And then I'd sit there, and I'd count, 1, 2, 3, and then I'm going and looking for him. I mean, no, I'm just going, where are you, Joel? Where are you? Oh, and he's like, Dad, how did you find me so fast? I don't know. Must be the Lord. He's revealing things to me. So funny, man. And that's kind of how it is with God. When God asks us questions, it's not because he doesn't know where we're at. God's asking the question because he realizes this. It's going to take a conversation for us to realize the location of our relationship. And the same is true in the garden. The same is true in our relationships. How many know you can live in the same house and not be in the same place? You cannot be on the same page. Anybody been in a house where it's like, we ain't on the same page here? And it's brought some friction. He's brought some tension. It's brought some things. And so God was modeling to us, hey, when that happens, we talked a little bit about this last week, specifically with conflict. I would encourage you to go back and watch Pastor JJ's message about that, about how we resolve that. But I want to dive a little bit even below that and go, you know what? Even in order for us to have healthy conflict resolution, we've got to be a people that are committed to communicating, meaning that the moment that something brings out of alignment in our relationships, that might be with our kids, that might be with a spouse, that may be with a coworker, that may be with spiritual family here in the church, but I'm going to be committed that we're going to talk about it. We need to talk. So let me give you four things really quick, four kind of really principles, but also just keys that you need in healthy communication. Here we go. Number one, timing. Timing. And literally just because of the time, I'm gonna fast forward through some of this stuff, and you can go back and listen to some things maybe in the 9 o'clock service. But I want to read a passage of scripture here because Ecclesiastes 3:7 says this: there's a time to tear and there's a time to mend. Now watch this. There's a time to be quiet. And then what does the other one say? It's a time to what? Speak. There's a time to be quiet, and then there's a time to speak. And when it comes to communication, we need to understand what time is it. I'm not just talking about actually what time in the day it is. I'm saying, God, what are you telling me? Is this a time for me to speak up, or is this a time for me to, I'm not going to say it. We got kids in here. Okay, well, is this a time for us to be quiet? And oftentimes, I have found this in relationships. When there's moments we need to be quiet, we're talking too much. And there's other times when we need to be talking, we're stuffing too much. We're not speaking enough. So in this room, everybody's going to be a little bit different in here. But there are those in you in here, like the moment something happens, the moment you feel something, you just start talking. You start talking. And we know who you are. Your spouse knows who you are, definitely. Okay. Well, I'm just telling you what I think. Okay, well, I don't know if it's needed right now, but that's okay. And then there's others of you in here that you get dominated by people who talk a lot, and so you don't talk at all. But the problem is, and I see this often in counseling with a lot of couples dealing. I mean, I've got a staff, I've got team, we've got a big church, we've got all of this. I've got a family, I'm married. So I have moments for this all the time where I get to realize that oftentimes what I have found is people have conversations too late. They stuff too late. They stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. And here's the problem with stuffing. Let me tell you why stuffing can be a really, really bad thing. Because what ends up happening, you don't just accumulate issues. You accumulate emotions. So let me show you what Scripture says here. Watch. Scripture says it this way. I'll give you two. For those who say things maybe a little too quick, Proverbs 21:23, watch your words and hold your tongue. and you'll save yourself a lot of grief. Some of y'all, this needs to become a memory verse, all right? Like, put that up, put that in your car right there, right? When someone cuts you off, you're like, Proverbs 21, 23, all right? Like, watch my words, hold my tongue. And maybe some of you need to, you need to do this, like, actually physically hold it. That might help. But let me give you another verse, Ephesians 4, 26. Watch, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives, now everybody say that word, anger gives what? A foothold to who? To the devil. Now, I don't know about anybody in here. I'm pretty sure I would know. There's nobody in here that's got an open door policy to the devil. Come on anytime you want. But what Paul is actually telling us through Scripture is that if you don't learn to handle your emotions and have the right kind of conversations at the right time, you actually open the door of your home for the enemy to come in. That word foothold in the Greek is the word topos. It literally means a place or a room. Now, I've got a house. It's got a guest bedroom in there. It is not Satan's guest bedroom, though. But if we don't handle our anger properly, if we don't handle our emotions properly, and we don't talk at the right time, literally, Scripture is warning you, this is how serious it is. You're going to invite the enemy to come sleep in your bed. You're going to invite the enemy to come into your house. And I'm going to tell you, healthy conversations that are done right in the spirit of humility and love, those send the devil an eviction notice. You are not allowed here anymore. I mean, you need to send the devil a little eviction notice, let him know you're no longer allowed in our house. This is not happening here. We're going to have the right kind of conversation. So timing is a big one. Tone is the second one. Tone. What do I mean by tone? That Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Think about moments when you're having conversations with people and somebody says something and it just triggers you. It does something inside of you. It may be, you know, maybe it was hurtful, or and maybe it came across in a way that just, oh man, that got to me. I always think about it. I want you to have a mental picture, because how you respond, we talked about this last week, being not reacting, but responding. Because in that moment, you've got a bucket. You've got two buckets, actually. You've got a bucket of water. That's a gentle answer. And then you've got a bucket of gasoline. And that's the harsh word. And if I throw that gasoline on that little fire, how many know what's about to happen? We're about to set this house on fire. We're about to set this relationship on fire. And so as people full of the Spirit of God, you have a choice on how you respond. And tone is so huge, because tone communicates emotion. Tone communicates, hey, this is how I'm feeling right now, but this tone is such a big deal, which is why it's so important. Listen, this is why it's so important. Never respond in anger to a text message or an email. Never. Or Facebook post. Because how many know, no matter how you send it, they read it how they want to read it. You could have sent it with all heart, like, hey, I love you, I'm here for you, man. And they hear, I love you, I'm here for you, man. Like, you're like, what? Man, I'm trying to communicate to you. So it's important for us in conversations to be able to look people in the eye, to hear the heart, the tone of it. Number three is truth, that we want to be people of truth. Ephesians 4:15, rather speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Truth and love. Truth and love. Let's talk about both of them. Love. Why do we need love in our relationships? Ready? Because love values the relationship. Love values it. When you look at somebody, you look at your kids, you look at your spouse, when you look at those around you, you say, I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm grateful for you. This morning, I grabbed my wife. My wife's was about to preach this morning. We're both getting ready to leave. I'm coming to Jennings. Crowley, she's going to Jennings. I grabbed her hand. I prayed over her. And I said, look me in the eyes. And I said, you were made for this. You were made for this. You're anointed for this. I love you. I'm proud of you. Those words, they speak life into her. And it's important for us to be people in our marriage. Question, are we complaining more or are we appreciating more? Evaluate the words that are coming out of your mouth. Listen, I get so challenged in this with my kids. Man, I've got three boys. Y'all pray for us. All right, we got three boys. And the Lord convicted me years ago about, are you correcting more than you're affirming? Are you spending more time telling them what not to do and less time telling them who they are in Christ? And man, God really, I had to repent to my sons and say, I'm sorry. I've actually done more damage, I think, because I've been harder on you than I have been graceful towards you. And so the Lord just really started convicting me about this. Of like, yeah, you're truthful. But how many know, sometimes people are like, well, I'm just telling the truth. How many know, but you're still a jerk. You don't have to, how many know, you don't have to say the truth and be a jerk. You can be truthful and loving. Meaning that I'm going to look at someone and go, hey, what I'm about to say may be hard to hear, but I want you to know I'm for you. I love you. I'm with you. I'm in this. This is why we wrap these things in love. Because love, this is so huge. Love values the relationship, but truth expands the relationship. It makes it even better. It expands. Think about every friendship that you have that's a great friendship. Y'all probably were really honest with one another. You had some really truthful moments. Maybe you had some hard moments where you had to work through, but that truth expanded that relationship. I love what Jimmy Evans says, and I'm going to end with this. He says, Jimmy Evans, truth without love is mean. Love without truth is meaningless, but truth in love is medicine. I want us to all read this together. Come on, we all say this out loud. Ready? Truth without love, love without truth, and here we go. And truth in love is medicine. It's the healing balm of a relationship, loving and truthful. So everybody listen to me. If someone in your family says, how are you? Are you okay? Don't say, listen to me. Don't say, yeah, I'm good, if you're not. That's a lie. That's a lie. You should be able to say, you know what? No, I'm really hurt right now. Okay, let's talk about it. Or you know what? No, I'm just really tired right now. Okay, let's talk about it. Let's work. I'm not going to lie and say that all is good. And this happens oftentimes in church. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. And then you look at the wife and she's like, no. I mean, we are blessed, but trust me. Like, it's not. And I want everybody to hear it. OSC Crowley, listen to me. It's okay to not be okay. I just need you to hear that today. Because oftentimes we can come into church and we can fake it and praise the Lord and all that stuff. And at home, it is miserable. And I just need you to hear this. It's okay to not be okay. But ready? It's just not okay to stay there. It's just not okay to stay there. Hey, listen, if you walked in here and you're like, I'm giving God one last shot and I don't think our marriage is ever going to make it, it's okay. I am so glad you are here. And I need you to hear me. God loves you. He values you. He wants to work for your relationship. He wants to fight for you. This is what he does. But I want you to hear me very closely. But we're not going to stay there. We're going to get you healthy. We're going to get you in the right place. We're going to get you in a safe place. We're going to get you where you can be known, all right? So truth, here we go. Fourth, last one, trust. If you want to have great relationships, man, it's all built on trust. Relationships are like a team. A team that doesn't communicate doesn't win. Your relationship can only be as strong as the amount of trust that you have in it. So what are the things that invest in trust? When someone's authentic, that builds trust. When someone's honest, that builds trust. When someone is encouraging, that builds trust. When someone's showing appreciation, that builds trust. When someone's honoring you, that builds trust. Watch this. But just like there's things that invest in trust, how many know there's also things that withdraw trust? Lies withdraw trust. Slander and gossip withdraw trust. Criticalness all the time. Bible talks about being nagging. That withdraws trust. When you've been betrayed, there's maybe those of you that are in here, you've been betrayed. Someone said something, they did something totally different. And I recognize that. And that pulls some trust. You go, Pastor Josh, I don't know if I trust him or her. That's okay. Hey, listen, how many know God is in the restoring of trust business? This is what he does. God is in the issue, in the business of restoring trust. First off, restoring trust with you, with him. But I'm here today because maybe there's been something off in your relationship with God. And God so loves you that he did in the cool of the garden, walks in and says, hey, Adam, where you at? And if you're here in this room, I want you to replace Adam's name with your name. Where you at? How are you? He's not asking it because he's wondering. He's asking it because he wants to know, do you know where you're at? Hey, let's have a little talk. Let's have a little conversation. Not to bring more shame, not to bring more guilt, but listen, to bring healing. Maybe some of you in here, you're like, man, I haven't heard God in a long time. Guess what? You're in a great place. God's voice is about to get a whole lot louder. Because when you don't feel like you hear God, guess what? He comes close. God's probably closer to you right now than you can even imagine. And all throughout this service today, from the worship, God's been speaking. Maybe for some of you, the fact that you're even here today, like, I wouldn't even plan on being here. Guess what? But God had you here. You know why? Not so you can hear my message, not so you can hear Pastor JJ, so you could hear him. So today, maybe, listen, you're one conversation away from the healing you need. One conversation away from the healing you need in your life, in your marriage, in your family. Maybe God's speaking to you right now. So would you do this? Would you just close your eyes across this room? I'm about to let you out. I promise you. We're about to be dismissed. And you can go to Popeye's, wherever it is that you want. But in this moment, I want you to hear me. And more than hearing me, man, I want you to hear God. And here's the question I want you to ask the Lord right here, just in this moment. Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? And here's what I know about the great God that we serve, that anytime he's invited in, he shows up. And so, Holy Spirit, we're here this morning not to just sing a couple songs and hear a message and then walk out and leave unchanged. We're here because we want to connect with you. And the truth is, God, you want to connect with us more than we even want to connect with you. God, you're so excited to see your kids gathered together to lift up your name. What is it that the Holy Spirit wants to have a conversation with you about? What's he putting on your heart? Maybe there's been an area where you've given the enemy a foothold, a place. Today, we're sending an eviction notice to the enemy. You're not having a place anymore. You're no longer welcome in my marriage. You're no longer welcome in my home. You're no longer welcome in this relationship. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. If God is speaking to you right now just about something, I don't even need to know what it is, but you just know God's speaking to me, man. He's speaking something right now. Would you just lift your hands? I just want to know who right now, like, you just feel like the Lord is just saying something. Okay. Man, hands going up all over the place. If you're here in this room, the greatest conversation that God can have with you is the conversation of you receiving him as your Lord and Savior, to be in relationship with him. And maybe you didn't realize it today, but you're here at OC Crowley because God so loves you. And whether it's been sin, whether it's been choices, whatever it has been, but something has disconnected you from God. But Jesus so loves you so much that he came into this world. He lived a life that you and I couldn't live. He died a death that you and I deserve to die. He went to a cross, but the great news is he rose again. He took all of our shame, all of our guilt, and he rose again to give you a new relationship with God that you couldn't have on your own. There's no pastor, no priest, no church that you can attend that can make this relationship right. It is only because of the blood of Jesus that was shed for the forgiveness of sins. And it is by grace through faith you receive that relationship today. And today you get to start a new relationship with God. Maybe you've been far from him, but this today is a moment. You are one conversation away from your life being forever changed. And here's the conversation. God, I surrender. God, I surrender. And God, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And if that's you that's in this room, I just want you right there. I want you just to pray this with me. There's nothing about this prayer that saves you. It is the posture of your heart this morning. And if you're here in this room and you know you're far from the Lord and you've never really said, God, you can have it all. I just want you right here. I want you to say this. I want to say, dear Father, thank you for Jesus. Come on, we're going to say this all out loud. All of us across this room, say thank you for Jesus. I recognize that you came to this earth and you did for me what I could not do not for myself. You went to a cross. You paid for my sin, my shame, and my guilt. And you took it. And you instead have given me your righteousness because I have put my faith in you. So today, I turn from sin and self, and I surrender my life for you, Jesus, to be the Lord and Savior. Come on, I just say this with me. Say, God, be my Father. Holy Spirit, be my helper. Jesus, be my Lord. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name. Come on, and everyone says,